Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, January 19th, 2016. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. And how are you, John?
Good morning. Nice to be here. Middling good.
Good morning. I'm glad you're here. And Brian Chaffin, I hope you're doing well. I'm glad you're here, too.
Thanks.
Yeah. And hey, I'm really proud of you. You have not yanked your headphone cord out of the system yet.
That you know of.
That I know of. And in my world, that's the same thing.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, so the first thing I wanted to look at today is GOP presidential hopeful Donald Trump. And yeah, so here's the deal. Yesterday was Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and so Donald was at Liberty University making a speech, and during the speech he talked about some of his ideas, his plans for U.S. businesses and the economy should he be elected president. And there were two things that really stood out. One was that if any company is manufacturing products outside the United States, he wants to impose a 35% tax on that business. The other thing, and he was very clear about this, is that he wants to make Apple produce all of their products inside the United States. And just to be clear, so that no one thinks that I am applying my own interpretation to what he's saying. Here's a quote from Mr. Trump. "We are going to get Apple to build their own computers and things in this country instead of other countries."
You're going to have to bleep yourself now?
Ah, crap. No, because it's a direct quote.
And no, it doesn't work that way.
Well.
LOL. Right, so Trump, it's all preposterous, of course. He has the president has no authority to make a company bring its manufacturing in. The president could certainly be instrumental in putting tariffs on incoming goods, which would go against the last 30 years of trade policy for the U.S. And would probably spark a significant trade war with China and several other economies. It's all complete nonsense, and that doesn't even address the reality that that Steve Jobs actually noted before he passed away, that those jobs are gone, that the Apple's ability to make so many devices is predicated in large part on the kind of working conditions that our ancestors, our grandparents and great grandparents, some of them fought against more than 100 years ago, or about 100 years ago even. But you know, the early part of the 20th century, there was a big battle over having working conditions, a working mentality like is still allowed in the emerging world. And rightly or wrongly, the globe has sort of bought into that.
Yeah. Okay, Brian, you just did a really important point, I believe, because you said globe. And what we're talking about here isn't just what happens in the United States from a business standpoint. We're talking about the global production system and the global economy here. So if Mr. Trump thinks that he can make these sorts of sweeping changes in the United States, he's going to have to address them for the rest of the world as well, which seems to me like it's a little bit outside the purview of the United States president.
I'd like to look at this from a different standpoint, guys. My take on this is that Donald Trump knows exactly what he's saying. He knows that most Americans are not aware of these trade nuances and the history of trade. He knows that people are not familiar with Foxconn factories and how millions of workers in China are building electronics products and how they do it and how they live and how the economics of that goes. So what he's doing is he's figuring out what it is Americans know in general, aside from these kind of detailed technical discussions, and then making a statement, which seems sensible on its surface, to people who aren't educated about these things in order to acquire power. That's my take. I think he knows exactly what he's saying.
But it's a failed formula because while it could conceivably get him additional support for the nomination, it risks alienating capital. And capital happens to be the backbone of the GOP's support.
Right. Right. He's done this in the past in a way that wouldn't alienate him, and now he's stepped on the toes of capitalists and Republicans in a way that it treads into new territory. Yes, and that's perhaps a mistake on his part. But
I actually think it was. I mean, I respect where you're coming from on that, John. But I think it was just more blustering nonsense that stems from.
Well, he's not an narcissist.
He's a narcissist and an egotist, and
well, by
and there's little forethought in statements like this.
By wrapping yourself in the aura of control and power and authority and expertise and decision making, he makes himself look like he's a man of decisive action who will solve problems. And that's all he's really trying to do in order to maintain his lead in the polls. And as we know, that fundamentally doesn't solve problems. It just simply
It's not truly going to help him in the long run either. I mean, the man is on a, anyway. Politics aside, let me rephrase that. Political commentary aside, this proposal just has no foundation whatsoever.
I agree with you, Brian. When I saw both of those key statements, 35% tax on businesses, and making Apple bring their production into the United States, all I could think was he's just saying what he thinks people want to hear, or he really has no idea what he's saying.
I don't think anyone wants to hear that. I don't think not really sure who he thought. I'm back to the fact that it's just blustering nonsense from a narcissistic egotist. That there's very little forethought in it because there's no constituency that's clamoring for this.
Not that I have seen. And keep in mind, this is the same person that said that he wants to build a big wall along the U.S.-Mexican border, which is not a feasible
and make Mexico pay for it.
And make Mexico pay for it. That's right.
By magic.
Hey, magic worked for Doug Henning.
It's true.
So there's that. Okay, listeners, I'm curious, what do you think? Is Donald Trump offering up a good plan, or is he off base? I want to know what you think. You can share your ideas with me and opinions on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can share your thoughts and ideas via email. That would be observations@macobserver.com. And you can also leave comments on today's show notes. I'm curious what you guys think. And yes, I know we're diving into the world of politics. So please keep everything civil, just because we are all friends here. And I love all of you. I hate to see all of my listeners fighting. Let me know what you think. Okay, the other thing I'd like to talk about today, guys, is something that you stumbled on yesterday, Brian.
I didn't stumble on it. It was sent to my email box.
Okay, you stumbled upon it in your email box.
Yeah, or my email inbox. Good Lord, am I... John, can you pass along the signs instructing the kids on what to do with your lawn? Because I apparently need them with my email box.
Move along.
My email box. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
John, this is your...
Maybe from Jimmy Fallon.
You get to take swipes at me for that. I have earned them from you.
No.
Brian, we're maybe what you here. Need to do is get a refreshment. Why don't you head over to your icebox and pull out a sarsaparilla?
Well, no, I do use the term icebox, but nonetheless, email box. So this landed in my email box, and it's a phishing scam. It's one of the best I've ever seen. Admittedly, I was distracted yesterday, but I clicked on the link. Included
it was the kids
on,
it. On your lawn that had you distracted.
It probably was, actually. Those darn kids. Yeah. Trampling the grass. I work hard on that grass. But it looked like a legit Apple email. And I clicked the link. So I closed the window down before it even loaded because I realized that I had just clicked the link without looking at the URL, which is incredibly unlike me. So I don't actually know what the page was, and I am not going to load it, and I don't recommend anyone else load it because it could just be a phishing scam, or it actually could be maliciously crafted page designed to inject some kind of malware onto your Mac. Which would be really bad. So I just don't recommend visiting it. The URL obviously wasn't an Apple URL. It turned out there were some character substitutions. It's probably Cyrillic. It's probably a Russian, some kind of Russian outfit creating this. But some of the letter I's were substituted, but not all of them. And there were a couple of typos my eyes just glazed over at first. And other than that, it included legitimate links to Apple's support sites and online forums. Mm-hmm. And the only link that was a problem was the main link for logging into your iTunes account, supposedly.
That's interesting. And for phishing scam emails, pretty sophisticated.
It was. You know, I've always wondered why the bad guys don't just grab real emails and, you know, change out the URLs. And use those to send out, but they don't. And these guys didn't do that either. They may have actually used some kind of original template from Apple, but again, the text itself had enough character substitutions that it said to me that it was crafted by hand.
Brian, I have a technical question about that email.
Yes, sir.
It looks like you were reading it online in web-based mail because it looks like you have a Safari wrapper around it.
Nope. That was a screenshot from mail.app.
And mail does use the same engine as Safari for rendering.
Okay. I'm mistaken. I noticed it said Apple support up in the upper left-hand corner and to Brian Chaffin. Mm-hmm. So there is an option to turn on full email addresses rather than the short version. I'm wondering whether that might have helped.
And I don't have that. I actually normally have that set up, and I haven't set that up on the new iMac I'm using. The name, in this case, it would not have helped because the name and email address actually matched.
What about the Apple support? Was there a way to make that more visible in terms of expanding the email address?
Good question.
Yeah, if you click and hold on an email address in mail, it shows the full address.
Yeah, which is what I did, which is why how I checked my email. Let's see what they're doing. No, John has a great point because the email address was a Tesco.net address. So had I had that turned on, I would have noticed that right away.
So that's a good tip for the users.
Yeah, how do you do that, John? Let's see. I haven't set that up in a long time, and I need to set it up now.
I forget where it is. I'm looking right now.
Well, if you go into, I believe it's in settings, you can show full headers.
No, it's not a header. It's something else.
Yeah, I actually usually show full headers too. I don't have that set up either. But there is that you don't have to show full headers to see the actual address.
Yeah, there's a setting that allows you to always show the full email address.
Looking for it to top men, by the way. We are
That's
top
right.
men.
Top men. Yeah, I'm glad we thought to find that setting before recording the show today. And I would be glad to help you out, except that when we are recording, I don't have mail running.
So, yeah, I do.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Actually, you know what? This is worthy of a standalone tip.
I think so.
So we will do that. I'm not seeing. Turn this off.
All right. So, listeners, there you go. That's you now know before people that don't listen to Daily Observations, there's a fun tip coming, a fun tip on how to show full email addresses in mail.
You know, I'm wondering if they did something funny because I'm seeing I'm actually seeing in my other emails, I'm actually seeing full email addresses.
Oh, here it is. It's under viewing.
Yeah,
and halfway down, it says use smart addresses. Turn this off to always display names and addresses. So if I have my box unclicked, so it's mail, preferences, viewing, halfway down. Don't use smart addresses.
I had that unclicked too, though.
Oh.
So we'll do a little experiment on this and see what is up.
Awesome. All right. So based on your experience, Brian, what this tells me is that some of the email phishing scams are getting sophisticated enough that it's easier to trick people into clicking something that they shouldn't in an email. So what are the things that you look for in an email message that tip you off to the fact that this is probably not a legit message?
Well, the very first thing is that Apple doesn't send out emails like this. This was worded close enough that I thought it might have been the real deal. But Apple doesn't send out email addresses like this, email messages like this.
Mm-hmm.
I always check the URL, and John who was helping me with this piece yesterday. John specifically noted that the way you want to think about it is you want to hover over a link in an email if you're using Apple's mail.app. And when you do so, a little pop-up rectangle, not a square, right, John?
Correct.
A little pop-up rectangle comes up that shows the actual URL that you're being sent to. And sometimes the bad guys out there will use HTML to do something like, say, go to www.apple.com, and the www.apple.com will be a link. But the link that's actually behind that link, the URL that's behind that link, well, might be some kind of malicious other URL that's not apple.com.
So look at the full URL before you click something.
Yeah, note who it's coming from, as John just noted. John, here's the interesting thing. I absolutely had to use smart addresses turned off, and I was not seeing the full email address on this email. But when I turn it off and on, I'm toggling that. So I don't really know what was going on with that.
Oh, so after you toggled it, it kicked in?
Yeah, when I turned it on and off, I could suddenly see it. But I was seeing it in other ones, so I'm not really sure. Honestly, I don't know what's up.
All right, so other things that I look for in emails, I look at spelling, grammar, and punctuation. And granted, I know not everyone has the same spelling, grammar, and punctuation skills we have because we're writing all day, every day. But if you look at an email and when you're reading it, it just feels like maybe it's a little stilted, then it's probably not from Apple, which means there's probably a problem with at least grammar and punctuation.
Or your bank, or, you know, Google, or
right.
anyone else.
Right. And and look at the spelling, because oftentimes there will be spelling errors. But man, that grammar and punctuation, that's a big thing. So if a sentence looks to you like maybe Yoda is speaking it instead of your bank, then that's a good indication that it's probably a spam or a scammer email.
Jeff, do we have time for one more item?
Yes, and then we'll have to wrap up.
Okay, so the very sentence at the top in bold is also a giveaway. We were unable to validate your account with your billing information on file. Wait a minute. That should create alarm bells in your head. You've been doing business with Apple. You've been buying things in the Apple store. You're doing iTunes music. And now all of a sudden, Apple, the largest company in technology on the planet with massive computer skills and technology, is somehow, despite the fact that it's had your name and address and phone number and credit card number as an Apple ID for years, is all of a sudden helpless and unable to validate your account. Right away, that should raise alarm bells.
It should have. I was predisposed to falling for this because I just had a credit card change.
Ah, yep. Okay, now the last time I did a credit card change and I had a problem with something that was being paid through Apple, I didn't get any sort of notification about an issue with my credit card until I tried to do a transaction.
Yeah, that's the point where they have you update your data.
Right.
Like the CCV code and so on.
Right. And so what I did when I got the email from Apple saying there was a problem processing the transaction, I knew what was wrong. And instead of, even though I was able to tell it was an email from Apple, I did not click on any links in the email. I went to Apple's website and just typed in change credit card number and in their search field and found the link on their website that took me into my Apple ID so that I could change the information there.
I actually like to do all of my iTunes account changes from within the iTunes app.
And that's a really great way to do it also. Yes, I've done that several times as well.
And I think that actually may be one of the reasons why, after clicking on this link, that I was predisposed to accepting that I insta-closed the web page before it loaded.
I'm glad you have Jedi reflexes, so you're able to get that window closed.
Well, if I had Jedi reflexes, I wouldn't have clicked on this. I mean, it's embarrassing that I clicked on it. I mean, let's make no mistake about this. I for sure should not have fallen for this. I don't care how good it is. I shouldn't have fallen for it, but I did.
No, you shouldn't have. However, the fact that you did, what that tells me is that even you, Brian, much to everyone's surprise, even you are human. And it's possible for even the brightest and most observant of us to occasionally not catch something. And yet, even though you were taken in for a moment, you were able to realize what you had just done before it became a disaster, and you were able to close the web browser window before anything really loaded.
Ooh, how about a fix to Apple Mail? Apple Mail knows what the real URL is because when you hover the cursor, it displays it. So how about when you click on a link in email, a little box comes up showing you the actual URL and says, do you really want to go here? Click yes or no.
Every time, you don't want that. You might want that, John. You might.
I would want that. I would like that because I don't.
Yeah,
click
but
on
you run little snitch.
Yeah, and people that the average person seeing that they will do exactly what ends up happening because it's human nature, where they stop reading what's in that box and they just click OK.
And it seems Microsoftian in nature. Do you really want to do this thing that you just said you wanted to do? That's a terrible idea, man. Terrible idea.
Just a thought.
Oh, my goodness. There's no period at the end of that sentence. You can validate your account now at my Apple ID. Right. There's no period at the end of that.
Punctuation error. See?
But what, you know, I feel compelled to iterate this one last point. There are lots of legitimate Apple URLs in this email. That to me is a nice touch.
That was a really nice touch. But the one that they really want you to focus on, that's the one that's
doing. That was the malicious one, yeah. Yeah, and if I to John's absolutely wonderful point, if I only had show email addresses, had the smart addresses turned off, I would have seen it.
Yep. All right. So we are out of time, guys. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Yep.
And thank you for taking one for the team with that phishing email, because
yep.
I have a feeling you probably just helped several people avoid a similar.
Yeah, John helped out with this article immensely, so he gets some props too.
All right, John, big hugs to you for your help with the article.
Oh, shucks. Pleasure to be on the show.
And it's great to have you here. Listeners, it's great to have you here too. I love that you show up every single day and hang out with me and all my friends. And let me know what you think about the whole Donald Trump thing. I really am curious to get your opinions. Hey, thanks everyone for being here. We'll see you again tomorrow. We'll be right back.